From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to a broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's broadcast, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies entitled Life in the Spirit, an examination of Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, in which the Apostle Paul sets forth the nine elements that make up the fruit of the Spirit. In his examination of what the Bible means by meekness, Dr. Cairns has defined it as a grace which the Holy Spirit works in believers. Essentially, it is the strength of faith to accept God's dealings with us as good. The major portion of this message is devoted to how the Holy Spirit works meekness in God's people. First of all, the Spirit wrestles with our flesh to deliver us from the power of that which otherwise would keep us from going on with God. Then He witnesses to our faith, seeking to bring us to the place where we trust in Him, regardless of our circumstances. In addition, the Spirit demonstrates His great compassion to us in our times of weakness. Finally, as we'll see today, He works with us in our failures. Dr. Cairns will come to the Word of God in a few minutes. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of the great 19th century English preacher C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Our Holiest Example. The text is from Psalm 16 and verse 8. I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. This is the way to live. With God always before us, we shall have the noblest companionship, the holiest example, the sweetest consolation, and the mightiest influence. This must be a resolute act of the mind. I have set, and it must be maintained as a set and settled thing. Always to have an eye to the Lord's eye and an ear for the Lord's voice, this is the right state for the godly man. His God is near him, filling the horizon of his vision, leading the way of his life, and furnishing the theme of his meditation. What vanities we should avoid! What sins we should overcome, what virtues we should exhibit, what joys we should experience if we did indeed set the Lord always before us. Why not? This is the way to be safe. The Lord being ever in our minds, we come to feel safety and certainty because of His being so near. He is at our right hand to guide and aid us. Hence, we are not moved by fear, nor force, nor fraud, nor fickleness. When God stands at a man's right hand, that man is himself sure to stand. Come on, then, ye foemen of the truth. Rush against me like a furious tempest, if ye will. God upholds me. God abides with me. Whom shall I fear?
Thank you.
As you enjoy this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, we'd like to call your attention to a new publication. The Free Presbyterian Church has produced a devotional book entitled A Word in Season. Here is an ideal companion for your daily Bible reading and prayer. A Word in Season contains 366 clear, concise Bible studies on the major themes of Scripture concerning what it means to be a Christian. Each day it brings you a text of Scripture with a short study to edify and encourage you. These studies are written as helpful devotional messages, one for every day of the year. At the back of the book is a section, Begin and End the Day with Scripture, which sets out a schedule of daily Bible readings designed to take you through the entire Bible once and the Psalms and New Testament twice in 2 years. The title, A Word in Season, recognizes that we all face different situations and have different needs in our Christian walk. Whatever your season, youth or old age, sickness or health, happiness or sadness, blessing or bereavement, here are messages that will minister the truth of God's Word to your heart. Copies of A Word in Season are perfect for gift-giving at this time of year. For information on how you may obtain a copy, you may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. You may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Now, please stay with us as Dr. Alan Cairns continues his series on Life in the Spirit.
This morning in Galatians chapter 5, the passage upon which we have been dealing are considering for a number of weeks now on the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, no law. Last time we commenced thinking of how the Holy Ghost produces meekness and the effects that this has in every area of our lives. Let me remind you of the general statement that I gave you then, so that we'll at least be able to get to the starting line today. The point that I'm trying to make in these messages is that the Holy Ghost makes His people joyfully submissive to God's will in all circumstances, even when those circumstances run contrary to our own desires and comfort, thereby enabling us to maintain a sweet and a submissive spirit towards God, a gentle and patient spirit toward men, so that we may live with inner peace whatever's going on around about us. Now, last time we spent the time thinking of how the Holy Ghost produces this meekness within us. And I made 3 points. That He wrestles with our flesh, as He did with Jacob in bringing him to meekness. That He witnesses to our faith, as He did with Job when he was so upset, bringing him to meekness. And He whispers to us, and I used there the example of Elijah. He whispers to us in our times of fainting, when the voice of God we would expect to be with thunder, with earthquake, with some strong denunciation, He whispers to us in our fainting with the still small voice to feed and encourage. I want to add one more to those three, really in many ways a summation of them all. We're thinking of how the Holy Ghost produces the grace of meekness, this humble, joyful, submissive acceptance of God's will as always being good, whatever may appear to our senses. How does He do it? We may say even that He works with us in our failures. I said last time that this is a grace that comes through plenty of practice. You'll be challenged again and again and again. And like so many of the saints in God's Word, you'll find that you fail more often than you would like to think. But the Lord works with us in our failures. We take Peter here as an outstanding example. Peter is beloved, I think, above all the disciples, because we see more of ourselves in Peter than in the rest. Possibly because the biography of Peter is more clearly given and in greater detail in Scripture. But you see Peter, and when you look in that man's life, it's like looking in a mirror, you see yourself. A man with a heart for Christ, and we trust, if we're saved, that we have a heart for Christ. A man who was desirous of doing great things for God. A man who attempted great things for God, stepped out where others were afraid to step out. A man who did great things for God. And yet with all that, a man who was always tripping over his own tongue. A man of intemperate vehemence at times, whose spirit often got him into trouble. You think of what we read in Matthew chapter 16. He made a glorious confession, boldly stepping out to confess Christ while others were still thinking of what they might say. Whom say ye that I am? He had the answer to that. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That, my friend, was a glorious expression of faith. So much so that Jesus said, Blessed art thou, Simon, son of Jonah. Flesh and blood didn't lead you to this conclusion. This was revealed to you by my Father, who is in heaven. What a great confession. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Yet almost immediately, as Jesus began to speak about his forthcoming sufferings and death, Peter took him and began to upbraid him. Imagine that. He has just said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus had reminded him he was merely Simon, the son of Jonah, a Galilean fisherman. And yet he takes it upon himself to give a lecture to the Son of God to upbraid him for having the folly and the temerity to talk in such terms. Now, I have no doubt Peter did that because he loved the Lord. He didn't want to think of the Lord suffering and dying. That be far from thee. Jesus fixed his eye upon him and said, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou savorest not the things that be of God. On this occasion, as at other times, the Lord had to rebuke Peter rather sharply. He has to do that with us many a time to stem the flow of our natural vehemence, our natural folly, when we would go stumbling on in self-will. Like Peter, vainly, seeking to establish our thinking in defiance of God's thinking. That's the very opposite of meekness. And the Lord has to rebuke us very sharply. But even then, the rebuke is God working with us in grace. As Hebrews chapter 12 reminds us, when the Lord chastens us, it's with a father's hand. When he takes to rebuking us, it is the Father's voice that comes in order that he may work with us to bring us to meekness. In Matthew 26, we have another example of Peter's vehement spirit. In verse 33, he boasted of his courage and his faithfulness. He wasn't too sure about the rest. Though all men forsake thee, yet will not I forsake thee. Now, I want you to see Peter here among the disciples. He knows these men. He has labored with them for 3 years now. Some of them he has known for many years as James and John. He knew their character. He knew their strengths. He knew their weaknesses. And as he looked at these men, it appears to me he was not at all sure that these people would actually stand in the day of crisis. They could be weak, and the probability is they would be weak, and they would turn away and leave the Savior. But he puffs out his chest and he says, Though all men forsake you, I won't. He already said, I'm willing to die for Christ. And Jesus dealt with him. He warned him. You will deny me. And afterwards, when Peter had fulfilled the prophecy, the Lord Jesus worked with him to take great pains to restore him. There's a word of grace for every erring Christian here. The Lord Jesus was careful to reveal himself to Peter upon his resurrection. He was careful to invite Peter by name when he says, "Go tell my disciples and Peter." Just in case Peter, because of his failure, might not think of himself anymore as being worthy of the name disciple. "Go tell my disciples and Peter." When he met with them in Galilee, see how carefully he worked with them, probing his heart. "Lovest thou me?" Three times, eliciting the great expression of Peter's heart, "Thou knowest that I love thee." Many commentators and preachers like to say that Christ used the strong word, "Lovest thou me?" Peter, now brought to feel his own weakness, was afraid to use that word, and he used a weaker word, "I am fond of you." There may be some truth in that, but personally I don't think that's what's in Peter's mind. I think Peter was trying to use the word that expressed as best he could the feeling of heart. "You know all things. You know my heart. You know that I love you." But three times Jesus worked with him to bring him to that assurance. And then he commissioned him, "Feed my sheep." Now you would think after all that Peter would have learned a big lesson. But see, immediately he stumbles over his tongue again. He looks around, having heard what he will have to do for the Lord. He looks around and he sees John and he says immediately, "And what will this man do?" Again, Jesus has to rebuke him. "What is that to thee?" A nice way of saying, "Mind your own business. What is that to thee? Follow thou me." You know, that's what it was all about. That's the key to all the Savior's workings with Peter. To get him to the place, "Follow thou me." Men and women, let's understand this. We have failed in so many ways. When circumstances arise, instead of humbly, submissively recognizing the will of God, we struggle and we get bitter in heart. We speak out of turn. The vehemence of our own spirit betrays us. And the Lord sometimes has to rebuke us, sometimes has to speak, as he did with Peter, very kindly, very carefully, to bring us along. But in all his working with us, remember what the Savior is seeking to do. He is working in us a submission to the will of God in order that we may follow Christ. Don't follow your feelings. Don't follow the desires of the flesh. Don't follow the example of the world. Don't follow anything that would lead you out of the will of God, but rather follow thou me. And ultimately, that is the greatest possible expression of meekness.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we let the Bible speak.